I can't get it to record.
Yeah, this what are you doing?
Only doing one channel. Why do you say that I'm not into it?
I say you're not into the idea, not the podcast.
Oh. I'm always into it.
I know you're always into it. I don't know what you're always into, but you're into it.
I just need to figure out if I can get record this thing to record. It's not working. No need. Why? No need. So what are we doing today then? So what's the title? No, what's the title? We've gone over this already. But what's going to be the title?
My vote for title?
Mm-hmm.
We're back, .. Banter, listener questions. Banter and listener questions?
Yeah, okay. And Torch's Winter Bash.
And Torch's Winter Bash.
Sounds good to me.
Right, we're back. I feel like it's been a while, hasn't it?
Yeah, welcome to number
24
of BKRC Podcast.
We're back.
We're back. Yep. We're only gone for one week, one Wednesday. That's
mm-hmm.
it.
Mm-hmm.
And we're back.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of work to be back.
Isn't it?
Yeah, it feels like it. Just the mental work to just think about what the hell we're going to talk about this time around. It's just a lot of work.
It's just a lot of regrouping and...
And your lack of motivation, too.
Stop it. That's not the case. Not the case. I just forget about it.
I was not into it.
But stop. All right.
So we're going to banter. No more technical shit this week. How about that?
Well, here's the idea. Because we've been doing a lot of technical stuff, and it's great, and people like the information, but I think a lot of people get a kick out of you and I just talking about anything. Just... Maybe we're annoyed one day. Maybe we're complaining about something. Maybe we just have a stupid topic that we just want to go over, you know?
Yeah, let's be ourselves and bitch about the world. How about that?
Fair enough. So.
We get frustrated.
We all do.
We get very frustrated sometimes.
Oh, well.
We love what we do, but we get frustrated.
It's easy to get frustrated in this.
Yeah, it's very easy.
Doesn't take much.
It doesn't end, dude. It's like 10 o'clock at night.
Mm-hmm.
You know, last night I was at a dinner at like 9:30, and I had a text message from somebody wanting to know if I could do something special for them for a discount. I'm like, dude, it's freaking 9:30 at night.
Yeah,
like, just really?
There's
like,
no clocking out.
No.
You don't, there's no escaping it. But
rant over.
Yeah, but anyway, so it's been a week. But what have we been up to? What have you been up to?
2 weeks. It's been 2 weeks since mm-hmm. we recorded. 2 weeks since we released an episode. God, I don't know. Not a whole lot, really.
Nah.
Not a whole lot. Well, the shed is finally done. Mm-hmm. It looks like ass, but it's nice. I like it. I mean, it's... What do you think?
It seriously, looks fine. No, it's cool.
Come on, just don't say that just because like, you don't want to offend me.
No, I have no problem offending you. The thing... I think it's awesome because it's simple, and you did it all by yourself, and there was no one else really helping you, and you did it quick. Not quick, but you know.
Pretty quick, I think. What I mean, like off and on, like
3 days?
Five days.
Like,
but, you know, a few hours here, a few hours there. Yeah.
It's not extravagant, but it works.
It's got power, it's got insulation, it's got air conditioning, yeah.
It's got a floor. Yeah.
It's not great, but it works.
It's cool.
Yeah.
Holds everything. You can wrench in it. You got your bench. You're hanging helis on the wall.
And it's nice and freaking dry, and there's no freaking frog urine everywhere.
Cockroaches. No cockroaches yet. The old shed had about 340 of them.
They were hiding under the insulation.
No, it was disgusting.
But,
yeah.
Yeah, so I got the shed done. I went to... What'd I do? We went to... Did we go flying?
I think we went flying one day.
Everything is a blur now. I went flying, got the shit finalized. We did a lot of stuff ahead of Black Friday
mm-hmm.
and Cyber Monday. We had a good time at Thanksgiving here at my house.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a little bit of everything. I feel like it's been busy, man. Like last week, it wasn't really horrible. And in all honesty, I think we probably would have had the time to do the podcast. But I think it was more of the mental thing to get ready because it took a lot of work to mm-hmm. get ready for the Black Friday weekend, right?
Right.
As far as like getting everything in stock and making sure everything's organized and making sure the dealers are okay with stuff ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
It took a little bit of work, more than I thought it would. But what do you think?
I agree. I mean, I felt like I was busy, but didn't do a whole lot. I think the weekend before Black Friday, I went flying one of the days. Got to hang out with Mr. Bobby Watts and a few of the other Torches members.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the day that I had an issue and I had to come around.
Yeah, yeah.
I was on my way there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can you believe I was like a mile away and then I had to turn around?
I know, so I'm going on home.
Yeah,
or something, but
yeah, yeah.
No, it was good to see that guy. I don't see him very much at all anymore. So it was cool to hang with him and chat and just kind of fly and spend a good day at Torches and help Ray with his Synergy 556 Nitro, the poor guy. Is quite the interesting builder.
But for the listeners that don't know Ray is Chicken Wing.
Yes,
so you Chicken might Wing. Recognize him from Smack Talk.
Yes, Doc Wing, Doc Wing. But
he's just grumpier than ever, isn't he?
Man, I don't know what it is.
I love the guy to death, but he's always been grumpy. But holy shit, he should write a book or do a movie or something.
I was gonna say something. I'll keep it to myself instead. But yeah. So that was a fun day out at the field, and then that was the week before leading up to Black Friday. And I'm going to be completely honest, when Wednesday rolled around, I forgot we even had a podcast. Didn't even know it existed, so it wasn't even in the back of my mind, but it was just kind of a task, you know, receiving a bunch of different products and getting it in stock and hoping that we had enough for Black Friday.
Yeah, yeah, and then Wednesday leading up to it was, I think it was pretty busy, and then Thursday, literally after Thanksgiving, I had to sit down and work for a couple hours to make sure that, you know, all the sales were enabled and everything was up and running correctly and whatever.
Right. Right.
But Thanksgiving was fine.
Thanksgiving was awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We ate way too much, though.
You guys very graciously welcomed me into your home for Thanksgiving, which is greatly appreciated. Susie and her mom and Miss Janet did some incredible cooking. Outstanding food.
Yeah, it was good. It was just a lot of food, though.
Yeah, too much, but no, it was good.
And needless to say, I was very sick leading up to Thanksgiving for like 48 hours.
Ridiculous.
Yeah. Got some stomach bug or flu or whatever they call it, stomach bug. Mm. Man, that was bad. That was bad.
Not good. You were dead for like a 24-hour period.
Yeah, and I wasn't 100% for Thanksgiving, but I was good enough to be able to eat and, you know, enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
But, And then after Thanksgiving, so Black Friday, we shipped orders
all day,
pretty much all day.
Yeah.
And then Saturday we went to Torches again.
Mm-hmm. Just before we get into Torches, I'm sure Bert agrees with me, but from the bottom of our hearts, thank you if you supported us at BK Hobbies. It's greatly appreciated that you trust us and want to pick up some stuff from us.
Yeah, a lot of people like. How do I explain this? We've gone over this in the past many times. Like, there's not a whole lot of money to be made in the hobby business. There really isn't.
Correct.
And so we look forward to Black Friday, Cyber Monday, just because it's like a big event. Like, to put it in perspective, it's probably 20 to 50 times the volume that we do in any other given weekend, period, by a long shot.
Right.
So it does help us tremendously because we're gearing up for a very slow period.
Mm-hmm.
Historically, you know, after the middle of December through like sometime in February is extremely slow, pretty much to where you can even pay your bills.
Right.
So yeah, so it we really, really appreciate all the support throughout the Black Friday and Cyber Monday weekend. We did really good. We cranked a lot of orders. It was a lot of work. A
lot of orders, but it was awesome.
So if we made a mistake and you order from bkhobbies.com and you got something wrong, I doubt it. But if we did, we apologize. We'll make it up to you. We'll take care of you.
Mm-hmm.
We have this pretty badass inventory management system, so we have to scan everything that goes out the door. So I think we're good.
It should be good.
Yeah, it should be fine.
Should be good, but if anything's wrong, let us know.
But yeah, so we went to Torches and hang with Gator this past Saturday.
Gator.
And I hadn't seen Gator in a few weeks, and so, yeah, it was cool. And the field's not quite ready for the event, man. Mm-mm. Talking about the event, field's not quite there yet.
It should be, though. By the time the event comes around, it should be good to go.
It's some grass cutting, and the netting is still messed up.
Yeah.
I heard that Mr. Watts was going to take care of it next weekend.
Hmm.
So, it was good to see Gator again, and I feel like I spent my day helping people that day.
You were busy.
Yeah, everybody needed help on something.
setup, Spartan setup, hobby wing tuning. I mean,
yeah. The guy David Jeffrey, he's always helped us at the Orlando Blowout with the registration. He bought a 500 right from I think Heli Direct.
Yeah,
and he bought BK servos from us, and he bought everything, the whole rig, the whole nine yards, Goblin 500. He bought it at the Blowout 2015, and he just finished the build.
Yeah,
record.
Yeah,
3 years.
Yeah,
and but it flew good.
Yeah,
flew good. So he needed a little bit of help, but he actually had it pretty good. He had it. I mean, I barely just went over his setup, and everything was spot on with a couple of little minor things with the governor. Everything was great. So and then your buddy Manny had some issues with this 380.
Yeah,
and he really didn't have an issue. It was just a V-bar tail. He's used to a very aggressive tail stop, and you know the Neo is a little softer,
a little
right?
bit, yeah. a little bit. But
so yeah, so it was a lot of wrenching on other people's stuff, and like you know helping them out, which is cool. It's cool. It's good to see people be happy with their flying and their equipment and so forth. Yeah. So
and then Mr. Gator brought out one helicopter, very bold.
And needless to say, what happens?
He drove that thing into the ground like it was a freaking fence post. I don't think he could have hit any harder.
I missed it, man. I was talking to somebody, and like next thing I know, I look over and it's done. It happened within like a fraction of a second. It went in so freaking hard.
Oh my god!
He was upside down. Classic.
Yeah.
Upside down, full positive.
So he just gave the wrong way. Just gave the wrong way.
And it didn't get hurt, man. I can't believe it.
I know. I don't understand. He broke, like, I think it was two links.
Frames were broken. Hmm? Frames were not broken.
No, they were not broken.
Boom wasn't broken.
Boom just popped off like it was supposed to.
Yeah, the canopy had some minor scratches. Nothing at all.
Yeah.
Crazy. Like, yeah. How?
It was
how?
Like two links, blades, mixing arms, and maybe landing gear somehow. I think that's about it. It was really, really minor, considering how hard he drove that thing in.
He drove it. He drove it hard, man.
So hard.
Gator style. Gator style.
And we had a visitor, Mr. Petrus Bothma.
Yeah. He came all the way from the UK. He's spending time with his family here in Orlando, and came, got a set of your servos.
Yeah, he did.
Super nice guy. Nice guy. Cool. Absolutely. It was good to see him. Good to see. You know, torches, you know, it's not what it used to be, and we've talked about this before, that the whole hobby is not what it used to be. We don't have as many people as we did in the past, but nonetheless, man, Torches is famous, you know? I mean, Torches has been the home club to a lot of good pilots over the years, and it's been the home to the Orlando Blowout, which, modesty aside, it was a very well recognized event worldwide. Yeah. So I mean, Torches is Torches, man.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Pretty impressive.
And from time to time we get, you know, people like that are visiting from overseas, and they want to stop by and look at our humble field, and they hang out. Some of them bring some to fly, some of them don't. But they still come on down and say hello, and it's cool. Yeah. It's really cool.
Yeah, we all hang out and fly and talk some trash and have some good fun. But
yeah, no doubt.
So what was it? That was Saturday. Then Sunday was a pretty lazy day for me, at least, hanging out and just doing fun stuff like laundry and cleaning and wrenching and, you know,
yeah,
adult stuff.
So what's your deal with going back to the Black Friday thing? What's the deal with Black Friday, man? Like, what did you buy? What did you get for Black Friday?
I am on this new kick of home automation. Home automation is freaking amazing.
Oh boy.
I can turn right now, sitting from here in this podcast room, I can turn on my lights and my AC now because I got the Nest little AC thermostat. Control almost my whole house. Just turn the lights on. I can make the heli room red. I can make the bedroom green. I can turn the heat on full blast. I can do whatever I want right from here. It's freaking awesome.
So you bought more stuff for your home automation.
Yeah.
You bought the thermostat.
Yeah, the Nest thermostat, which was a pretty good investment.
Nice.
You?
But what's with Black Friday?
I don't know. It's nuts. I went to Lowe's that one day, right?
I got more stuff for my home automation, too. I got the Nest doorbell thing where you can see who's ringing. But I've had this door automation stuff, this home automation for a while. When we bought this house, we bought a bunch of freaking stuff.
Yeah.
And turned everything remotely or whatever. So yeah, it's cool. But what's with Black Friday? What is it? What's Black Friday? Like, why is everybody so crazy about buying stuff during? It's like a man. Like it, I feel like it doesn't even matter how much you save. You just want to go and buy something because it's Black Friday.
It's
right?
Weird. Like you and I remember we went to Lowe's to get pegboard for the shop, and we left with toys. Like we didn't even get the pegboard. I mean, it's ridiculous. But like the best way that I've heard Black Friday described is that it's everyone acting like animals to go buy things they don't need one day after being thankful for what they
and like,
have.
But like, to be honest with you, I don't even understand like what's the point of it. Like, what would you go out like to? You know, I remember people used to go like shopping Black Friday at like 4 a.m., 5 a.m.
No, thank you.
And would you even do that?
No, I wouldn't even consider it. Not even remotely consider it.
But what's the point of it? I'm confused. I don't get it. Like, I get it, but I don't get it. You know what I mean?
It's to save like $50 off your TV, your new TV. No need.
But I could see going online and buying something that you've been wanting. And, you know, if you're not in a hurry and you know that things are going to be discounted, then you just wait.
Yeah.
You know, like, for instance, like if I was just a hobby customer, not you know the owner of like a hobby shop or whatever, mm-hmm. and I wanted a new helicopter, normally I don't wait because when I want something, I want it, man. I get it. Yeah. Like I hate waiting. Why would I wait?
No need.
But if it's one of those things to where you're like, okay, it's gonna be a winter project, you know, it's too cold to fly now, whatever, mm-hmm. and I make a decision that I want it sometime in early November, then, yeah, I could see myself waiting till Black Friday to save me a little bit of money and then buy everything I need for that project. Because, it's, you know, I'm not looking forward to going outside and flying in 25-degree weather, right? So I can wait 3 weeks, buy it, and then take my time to build it and look forward to flying it when it warms up a little bit in, like, March or end of February or whenever, right?
Yeah.
But man, the Black Friday deal is crazy. It's like everywhere is just like,
I don't know.
It's like a hurricane went through the whole city.
I don't know.
Everybody people were buying anything and everything that they could get their hands on. It's crazy.
Know. It has an effect on people because we walked into Lowe's and I was not even considering a Nest or anything, any toys. We went in for pegboard and we walked out with home automation. How does that work?
I don't get it.
It's weird. And we never even got the pegboard. We had to go get it today. Unbelievable.
Oh boy.
Well.
You know, I just got a text message from Gator. He's asking if we want to call guests. Should we call him?
We should call him.
All right, let's try to get a hold of Gator. Here we go.
Yo.
You're live.
No, I'm not.
Yeah, you are. No, I promise. You're on our podcast. What are you doing?
Well, I'm sitting here. I'm looking at pipes. I'm working.
Pipes? What kind of pipes?
Sanitary. Sanitary and sewer pipes, as you well know. And actually, I'm doing stuff for the event. I'm making a list of stuff I need to do for the Torches Winter Bash that everybody's coming to.
There you go. So, just pitch it. Your life.
Listen, Torches Winter Bash, everybody. December 7th, 8th, and 9th. It's next weekend. Be there, be square. Come on. We want everyone to come. It's nothing but fun. Can I cuss? Am I okay? Because we're live. There's no children listening. Everybody better fucking come to this event. I'm looking for everybody. And what? It wouldn't be right if I did. People would think that, you know, there's something's wrong with me, right? Okay. So yes, I want to see everybody's ugly ass there next weekend for sure.
Yeah,
for
absolutely. Sure. What about the weather? Is the weather going to be good?
Weather's supposed to be nice. You know what? They're only calling for a 20% chance of rain, which is normal in Florida, and they're talking in the 70s, so it should be gorgeous. It's looking good so far.
Nice.
Cold front's coming through now, so by next week it'll be gone.
Nice.
Next week it'll be gone.
So, you know, Gator, so yes. People want to know what you've been up to, because a lot of listeners have asked, where's Gator? We haven't seen him in forever. So, seriously, just explain. What's your deal? What have you been up to?
My deal is that I'm working now in Fort Lauderdale, even though I still live in Tampa. So I'm traveling 5 days a week working for this company. So been working. And you know what? It's taking me away from the thing that I love the most, my flying and hanging with my buddies. It's the craziest thing in the world. But things are good. Things are going good.
Nice.
Things,
so you know, do you have any plans to go to any events next year? Hang with your peeps?
Yes, absolutely. Because this year
is it going to be like this year where you made promises?
No.
And okay, I'm just checking.
No, because they did. I made all kinds of promises to you guys, right, that I was going to the spring event. No, next year. I'm hitting the spring fling. I'm hitting Urcha. I'm hitting the fall mowdown. What other one are we going to hit? I think that's it, because we'll do ours in May as well. So
ours? What's ours? Explain, because the listeners might not know what you're talking about.
With the spring?
Yeah, what do you mean hours? What do you mean by hours?
The spring bash. Don't forget, we do our spring event at Torches, the spring bash, which we're going to do in May. So April will be the spring fling, and then we'll do the Torches spring bash in May, which is a nice spring event. And it's still cold up north, so everybody should come down, right? Come on, what the fuck? Get up off your asses and come to the event. Where's Kyle? He's so quiet.
Huh, he's here. He's listening. He's talking to you.
He's not talking to me, but now, hey, what's up, buddy? What are you doing?
What are you doing? How's it going?
It's going good. Yeah. Going good. You know, I have to put the 500 back together because of my lovely crash.
Yeah, we were actually talking about your crash just a bit ago. So
yeah, you did really good, really? Gator. Really good. Really good.
Well, I learned, you know what? It's just so much better with a goblin to just crash on the head. You know, he didn't hardly any damage, right? And it was a thump. It was a thump like no other I've ever heard.
I think you learned that when you're upside down, you're not supposed to feed full positive.
yes, you know? Down with the stick. Stick down, not up. Not up. Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Oh,
you know,
all right, Gator, we're going to let you go so we can go on with the podcast. Okay. But I'll give you a holler later.
All right, thanks, dude. Bye, everybody. See you next weekend at the event. Torches Winter Bash. Come one, come all. See ya.
See ya.
What a guy.
Oh,
what a
Gator,
guy.
Man, I love that guy to death. He's just such a character. You can't just help it but love that guy.
I don't know where he gets the energy, though.
Anyway, well, so what are we going to talk about, Kyle? Let's talk about a little bit about the event itself. So, next weekend, man. No, not this coming weekend, but next weekend. Yeah.
Yeah, it's I got a countdown on my phone. Let's see. We have 9 days. Actually, more like 10 days. 10 days to go.
And here's the thing. We're not going to do a podcast next week.
No.
We can't.
We can't. We're gonna be
busy. I would love to, but because Wednesday is our last day here at the shop. Mm-hmm. We're pretty much closing shop for a couple days while we attend the event.
Right.
We have people coming from different parts of the world.
Hong Kong, China.
Yeah.
Europe.
Yeah, we have...
New York.
Yeah, we have the owner of Xnova, Chin, coming too from Hong Kong. Yeah, yeah, from outside. He's from China. He's from outside of Hong Kong.
Right.
So yeah, I think it's going to be cool.
I can't wait. It's going to be so much fun. So much fun. It's going to be the Orlando Heli Blowout, tamed down a little bit, a little more laid back, a little more relaxed, less commercialized.
So I have a list of sponsors. You want to hear it?
Do it.
So we got AccuRC, Aeropanda, A-Main Hobbies, Bavarian Demon, BK Hobbies, BK Servo, Align, Heli Professional, Horizon Hobby, Lynx, Oxy, Miniature Aircraft, Mikado USA, Rotorcraft RC, Rev Electrics, SAB USA, Scorpion, Switch Rotor Blades, Synergy RC, and Xnova Motors. That's a pretty freaking good lineup.
Wow. Stacked.
Yeah. And then for pilots, we have Alan Zabo. He's coming. Ben Storick. Bobby Watts, Chris Damonte, CJ Jenkins, Frank Columbia, George is not a pilot, but he's kind of like an invited guest, George Van Gansen, James Haley, James Van Hook, Jason Bell, Justin Cook, Kyle Dahl, Leon Luke, Matt Bodos, Pascal Schrono, Paul Andrioli, and Jan Mueller, plus me and you, of course.
Yeah.
Crazy.
And Gator.
And Gator.
And yeah, Ron
Gator's
Kors.
In the list.
Ron Kors.
And Ron Kors, yeah. So, yeah, it's going to be cool. It's going to be really cool.
I can't wait. It's going to be awesome.
What I'm looking forward to is the fact that it's not going to be this typical commercialized event. I'm looking forward to that. So instead of setting up like a big shop and, you know, selling product and having them in a tent, we're just going to have some pitting tents and just have fun. Just go fly and hang and exchange ideas with people and shoot the shit. Just have a good overall time.
Yeah. Be kind of like Urcha. A little bit like Urcha, like we did for Urcha.
Like it was for us at Urcha, yeah. The other thing I'm looking forward to is the fact that I don't have to do shit. It's not my event.
I know. You just get to hang out.
I'm the guest. I'm just going to show up and have fun. Yeah. You know?
That's gonna be
and
awesome.
I'll help those guys with whatever they need me to help them with. But I don't feel like I'm responsible. So it makes things a little easier, a little more fun, you know?
Yeah. You don't have to get there at 5 or 6 in the morning anymore and start, you know, doing your stuff. So.
Yeah, absolutely. So, so it should be fun.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to it.
Awesome.
It's going to be pretty cool.
I think there are going to be little mini competitions as well. I think there might be an auto contest. Gator and I were talking about, and I don't know, maybe we just do something off on the fly.
Yeah, I think the auto contest, I think Mark Graves said he was going to pony up $300 for the winner.
Okay.
He's been doing that for years at OHB, and I think he's willing to do that again.
Right.
This time for the winter bash. So
sure.
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
And then I think Gator made a comment that he might want to do drag races, depending on the level of interest. You know, we did them at OHB last year, and you know, we did them in Virginia. I think it was last fall, maybe. It wasn't the spring, it was last fall.
Correct.
Yeah, it was fun, man. Yeah. I mean, those drag races are fun. They're a lot of fun. So yeah, it'll be cool. And then Bobby has this idea of the cone clinics, which I think will be kind of cool too.
It's different. Yeah. For those of you who don't know what that is, I think his idea was just take a pro pilot like Kyle Dahl, and you just go up to a flight station next to the cone, and you just hang out for 20 minutes, and maybe Kyle will talk about the new Glogo Nitro or how to set up V-Bar, and it's just going to be a kind of an impromptu, you know, hang out and get some tips from the pros. Pretty sweet.
Absolutely, and it doesn't have to be a pro pilot. It could be somebody that is an expert in a certain area. Like it could be somebody like George or like Jen, the owner of Ixnova, or it could be like somebody like that. That you know, he could just hang with people and talk to them about the product and you know what makes their product you know in their eyes better or what makes it more efficient. Or like an ESC guy, for example, can give people tips about how to set up like a Hobby Wing ESC or like things like that. You know,
definitely.
So it'll be cool. It'll be really cool.
Nice.
So what do you got? You got some questions? Do you want to talk about listener questions?
Listener questions. So we normally ask for you guys, the listeners, to send some stuff in. And what I kind of want to do now is something called listener questions, where a lot of times we'll get asked a pretty in-depth topic like, oh, talk about batteries and C-rating. And we love to do that. But we also like getting questions short and sweet, something we can cover in 5 minutes. Because batteries is a whole episode right there.
The batteries, man. Talk about IR, talk about like C ratings, talk about all kinds of different things. Yeah, that could take some time.
But something as simple as a question that Mr. Kurt Galens has asked us.
Okay.
And it's how many hours of sim a day during the winter? And I'll expand on it, summer, spring, whatever. Like how many hours of sim a day?
Well, there's no winter.
For us.
Well, today's winter. It's freaking cold as hell.
It's starting today and it's ending on Friday. So.
Yeah, tomorrow morning is going to be like 35.
Right.
So that is winter, but it'll end Friday.
Back to a regular scheduled Florida summer.
I think our high on Monday is going to be 85.
Yeah, you know, feel bad for us for one day, please. Please, you know, thoughts and prayers for Florida for one day. But anyway, how many hours a day of sim? And I know you and I kind of have differing thoughts on this, so... What do you think? Simulator, what's your opinion on the simulator?
No need.
No need?
No need.
No need for simulator?
No need.
Okay. Well, there you go. So, my opinion is I think it's a great, great tool, but it needs to be used as a tool, not a toy. I see a lot of people who get on the simulator and they start flying airplanes and jets and flying cars and flying lawnmowers, and they're not really using it how it should be used, which in my opinion is learning maneuvers, new orientations. If you're someone who wants to compete, working on set maneuvers or flights to music. And I don't think there's any set time that you need to spend on it.
So in all seriousness, I say no need. I personally hate the simulator, but I can see a lot of positives and benefits coming out of a simulator.
Right.
And I totally agree with you. I think that the problem with the simulator is that the people, and I can't generalize and say everybody does this, but a lot of people, not all, a lot of people use the simulator, like you said, as it without discipline.
Mm-hmm.
And the simulator needs to be seen as a tool to learn and improve, not as a toy or as a video game.
Right.
And a lot of people will sit on the simulator and they'll start, not necessarily fly. I see what you mean, like some people like switch to a jet or the flying lawnmower or whatever it is.
Yeah.
But a lot of people also fly their favorite heli on the simulator and they'll just bang the sticks out of control.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, look, I can do this on the simulator. Well, no, you can't. You're just banging sticks. You can get away with it. Simulator is totally different.
Yeah.
But it's hard to find that discipline where like, okay, I'm going to focus on learning this particular maneuver or like practicing this maneuver and doing it time and time again until you feel comfortable, because the simulator gives you the illusion that you got it when you don't have it, right?
Of course.
So what I tell people to do with a simulator is to crank the wind.
That's a good idea.
Crank the hell out of the wind. And I tell people, crank the wind right to left at like 10 or 15 miles an hour and practice your maneuver that way. And then don't get fixed on that, because you're going to be adding corrections that you don't need to in real life. Then within 20 minutes or 15 minutes, change the wind completely from the opposite side, left to right, and then towards you, and then away from you. And play with that wind direction and wind speed, and keep changing it all the time, because it forces you to make corrections that you necessarily don't have to make when you have no wind, right?
Exactly.
So it makes it a little more challenging, and I think it makes it more real. My gripe about the sim is it's very synthetic and very easy to fly a helicopter on the sim, right?
Right.
And they all tend to float more than they do in real life, right?
Sure.
Would you agree with that?
Sure. Something that I like to suggest to people is to take the power. I know it's kind of generic because it changes on all sims. Take the power and reduce it. Take the RPM down. Increase the weight. Make it harder to fly. Because if you have to work on something like a TikTok, there's unlimited power sitting on the sim.
Correct.
You can set it up to have 4,000 RPM and not bog no matter how you move the sticks. Lower the RPM down. Lower the power down. So if you're working on something that requires pitch management, actually teach yourself to do it. Because if you have less power in the simulator, it's only going to be easier when you get out there and do it in real life.
Yeah, and, you know, it's funny because I remember back, I flew the real flight simulator. What version was it?
3 or 4?
4.1? Is that a version?
4.5.
4.5? I don't remember. But I remember increasing, there was a setting called the physics or something. And I remember increasing that. The default was 1.0 or whatever it was. And I remember going up to like 1.15, 1.2. Because it made everything faster, made the helicopter sink down faster, made everything faster, right?
Sure.
And it just made it feel more realistic to me.
Right.
It wasn't as easy, quote unquote, you know? But as far as time, oh, man.
There's no number.
There's no number.
Yeah.
There's no number. I think with the simulator, the key is you fly the simulator, you practice that new maneuver, and you do it time and time again with wind blowing from different directions, like Kyle said, make the helicopter hard to fly, then make it easier to fly, and just practice that maneuver with all kinds of different settings. And once you're comfortable with where you believe that you got that maneuver, then you immediately have to go to the flying field and try it.
Yeah.
You have to.
Agreed.
And then if you are not, and if you don't feel like you got it in real life, then go back to the sim and keep practicing. But if you go to the... And as you practice it, also think of a bailout plan. So like if something goes wrong, you make a mistake, you got to think about what's your safe way out of that maneuver. How can you bail out of that maneuver without crashing consistently every time? That's another thing you should practice. But as far as putting a time in, that's... You used to do it for hours, didn't you?
Well, how I always looked at it is I would practice until the point I saw myself either getting distracted, getting bored, or getting frustrated. And some days that was 30 minutes, some days that was 5-6 hours. Like if I was really motivated and really there's no distractions, no phone, nothing going on, then I could sit there and just sit in front of the computer and just work on something for hours and hours and hours. But I would just do it until I got bored or tired or had something else I had to do. So... I would just say just kind of a general practice regimen is just do it until you're bored or do it until you just can't really focus anymore. Because as soon as you get distracted or frustrated, then the practice, like, as far as what you benefit, goes right out the window.
Then the as I call it, the discipline practice goes away.
Yeah.
And then you can mess around with it and treat it like a video game. But that's not going to help you in any way, shape, or form.
Right.
Excuse me. Yeah, I agree.
So, moving along.
Winter. There's no winter.
No such thing as winter. No need. So, another one that we have is, it's about pro pilots and getting ready for set maneuvers. This is something we did not cover in our competitions episode, but do they train one maneuver at a time until it's nailed, or is it better to combine the complete set? So he's referring to the set maneuvers routine where you do one after another. We kind of discussed that where you have, I think it's 3 to 5 set maneuvers. You do one after another, and then you land. So, is it better to practice it as a full routine or practice individual maneuvers until they're perfect?
I think that is strictly dependent upon whether you as a pilot can execute all the maneuvers.
100% agreed.
If you're focusing, let's just for argument's sake, say that you're only learning three, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Three maneuvers.
Mm-hmm.
And you practice, you try the first one, and you cannot even do it.
Mm-hmm.
You are lost. You lose orientation, or you just can't get it done. You just can't make it look like what it's supposed to look like.
Mm-hmm.
Then I would say at that point, you have got to just work on that one until you get it,
mm-hmm.
before you move on to number two.
Agreed.
If you can get through it and it doesn't look pretty, and you can get through all of them, you can do them and they look identifiable as the maneuver that is supposed to be, but they're not precise, they're not pretty, they might not be consistent, they're not placed correctly or whatever it is, then I would practice them all, you know, back to back to back.
Right.
That's what I used to do. I was never a superstar pilot, but I was... every year that I went to XFC and I saw the maneuvers I had to do and I went to the flying field to try to do them, I could not do them perfect. They mm-hmm. looked mediocre,
mm-hmm.
but they were identifiable. You could tell, okay, he's doing the pirouetting X or he's doing the whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I just practiced them back to back to back to back.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would practice some more than others because I was weaker at some, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I would just continue practicing them back to back because, you know, I think you and I have talked about this. I don't know if we've discussed this on the podcast, but I don't know if this applies to everybody, but it did apply to me big time. When I went to the field to practice a maneuver and it wasn't coming out perfect, excuse me, I keep doing it. And after I do the maneuver, as an example, I don't know, realistically, it would not be unusual for me to do the same maneuver 30 times in one day, right?
Mm-hmm.
25, 30 times.
Sure.
Like, I got to the point where, like, I see some improvement, and then I kind of see, like, I'm stuck there. It's not going anywhere.
Right.
I pack my stuff up. I go home. I come back literally the next day, and I already see an improvement.
Mm-hmm.
There is something that happens, and I don't know if there's a science to this. This applies to me. I don't know if it applies to everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a psychiatrist, or I don't study the mind or how human behaviors work or whatever. But to me, I notice that it's kind of like a phenomenon. It's like you stop, you go rest, you take a break, you have dinner, you go to sleep, you wake up the next day, you go to work or school or whatever you do.
Mm-hmm.
Then you go back to the field, and even though you have not flown for the last 24 hours, you already see an improvement.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like you're teaching yourself, but you need that break to mm-hmm. go on, right? And I notice improvement from one day to the next, to the next, to the next, more than I notice improvement within the same day,
right.
If you know what I mean.
Right.
So, with that said, if you're changing from one maneuver number one to two to three to four, you're letting maneuver one rest in your brain and your training,
mm-hmm.
and then you're getting back to it. I think that's more productive in a way
mm-hmm.
than if you just keep going and going and going with the same repetitive thing.
Right.
And not to mention, it just gets old when you repeat the same thing 100 times, right?
Right.
So
I tend to agree with you 100% there. And how I always referred to it as was clearing the cache. Going from one maneuver to the next, if you know anything
yeah.
about computers, clearing
yeah.
the cache. And what that helped me do is if I sat there and just for all intents and purposes, we're going to go over the maneuver called the Sidewinder, which is a pirouetting tick-tocking circle. So if I were to go and do that maneuver 30 times in a row, it's going to start looking stale to me. I'm not going to pick up on all the like errors
no.
I'm doing. I'm going to pick
no.
up on the things I do right. I'm going to miss things I'm doing wrong.
I think
wrong.
It's just mind saturation or whatever
yeah.
you want to call it. And it
right.
gets to the point where it starts to look sloppy.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And it's hard to focus on it. So then you move on to the next maneuver. And then it kind of lets your brain reset. Okay, oh, no more pirouetting. Now we're doing a rolling maneuver and so on and so forth. But another thing that we didn't touch on is there's also transitions that you have to do between each maneuver. So say you're exiting a pirouetting tick-tocking circle and the very next maneuver is a rolling circling loop or whatever, or a rolling globe. You have to plan for the next entry on that after exiting the pirouetting tick-tocking circle and make it look clean. So if you just sit there and you do 30 sidewinders and then 30 rolling globes, you're never working on the transition to make the whole routine as itself look clean. That's another thing to kind of.
That's a good point.
So just kind of making the whole set maneuver flight itself blend together, look clean, and then of course resetting the brain for when it gets stale.
So bottom line is like it's one again another one of those questions where there's no right or wrong answer. Mm-hmm. It's up to the individual. Some people benefit from practicing the same thing repetitively multiple times. Other people benefit from practicing it a handful of times, taking a pause or a break, and then going back at it. Mm-hmm. There's no answer. There's no straight answer there.
There's no right and there's no wrong.
Change your practice routine, your practice schedule, and see what works best for you. You will find the best practice schedule, the best practice routine for your own self, right?
Yeah. Just kind of figure it out what works best for you. You know, what works for me might not necessarily work for the next person. But moving on, we're going to do probably three questions. Here's the last one. They're all about competition. I guess we have some open-ended parts from the last episode, but a good question is, how many flights a week does a pro more or less train before a competition? How many flights a week do you put in before a competition? For me, it always varied, depending on my motivation, weather, and how many flyable helicopters I had at the time. I would try and fly every single day for at least 2 to 3 weeks leading up to the competition. That's Monday through Friday, getting out to the field at 7-8 in the morning and not leaving until dark. And I would probably average anywhere from probably 15 to 20 flights, and that's mixing it up between all three disciplines, which was music, set maneuvers, and then the freestyle itself. And at the same time, I was bringing out airplanes with me because my brain was getting pretty fried. I was getting frustrated, you know, you have a bad flight and maybe even crash or mechanical failure or something. So I'd bring out an airplane or a foamy or something just to kind of clear the mind and reset and try not get so frustrated. But, yeah, I usually did about probably 10 to 20 a day, and then, you know, 7 days a week. So it's quite a bit of flights. But then, you know, there's someone like Kyle Dahl who would crank out 50 to 60 a day.
And that's what I was going to say. Like, there's people like Dahl. I know because he said it many times that he used to crank 50 flights. And it's just like, I was never able to do that.
I could never.
I just get burnt. Yeah. It's just, I'm done. Mm-hmm. I can't do it. Mm-hmm. I mean, as much as I love flying, it comes a time when you're like, okay, I'm done. I'm done, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I never really flew a whole lot leading up to competitions, and maybe that's why I never did excellent in competition, right? I mean, I had a job. I had things to do, and I was a 40-year-old adult. It wasn't the same as being an 18-year-old kid. But I remember flying at least 6-7 flights a day. Mm-hmm. You know, for the, like you said, couple weeks leading up to it, right? Mm-hmm. Prior to that, I was never the one to practice that much. So I just had stuff going on. It's not easy, right?
And it's whatever works for you, because you said that when you would leave and kind of let your brain reset and come back, you'd feel stronger. So maybe 6-7 flights was perfect for you versus cranking out 20 and getting frustrated and annoyed and burnt out.
You know, and that goes back to regarding the same exact topic. I've had people ask me, well, I want to learn, you know, I've gone over this with countless people at the club, for example, mm-hmm. Scott Huber being one of them. It's like, I want to learn this, I don't know, want to learn to roll or loop or something really kind of basic. And I'm having this problem. I'm like, just, you have got to do it to learn it. You can't just like, you're not going to learn it out of thin air, right?
Right.
So you got to put yourself outside of your comfort zone to progress. If you're not outside of your comfort zone, you will not progress.
Right.
But with that said, there's a limit to how much you can do that until either you crash or you're not progressing anymore or learning anymore. You need that, like you said, clear the cache, reset button, right? Yeah, Take a break. So what I always tell people is like, go to the field, fly 3, 4, 5 flights where you're practicing, you're into it, you're focusing, you have a purpose, you know what you're after, and then fly another flight or two where you just like fucking around, just having fun, do whatever, right?
Yeah.
Because that's also hitting the reset button.
Right.
It's not necessarily like not stopping flying or not flying at all. It's stopping that particular thing that you know that you need to take a break from to get back to it and become stronger at it, right?
Sure, so, of course. Yeah. That's why I brought out airplanes, is to kind of just take a step back, take a breather, have fun, you know, eat lunch at the same time and kind of reset. But no matter if you're a pro pilot or a beginner, I think practicing to the point just before you get frustrated is key. And of course, it's going to take time to figure out when that is, how many flights that is, how many hours that is, whatever.
It varies. It everybody's different. Everybody's different. Yeah. Like nobody's alike. So
yeah.
So what? You got another question? Because I got a couple here.
Why don't you crank one out? What do you got?
Okay, so when we made the post on Facebook about episode 22, which was competitions, at the end of that episode, as we recorded it, you made a comment that next week we're going to talk about motors, ESCs, yada, yada.
Sure.
And somebody there, Paul Schwartz, said, hey, Bert, when you cover gear ratios, please cover how, if increasing or decreasing the size of a goblin's motor pulley impacts or it doesn't impact the speed of the tail. I'm seeing a rash of two-blade 700s going to a three-blade tail for lower head speeds. Thanks, guys, Paul. And I'm sorry, Paul Schwartz, I missed your text. Yeah. And when I read it, I had read your comment, but we had already recorded the episode, so we didn't cover that.
Right.
It's proportional to the speed of the rotor, of course.
Mm-hmm.
So the higher the rotor speed, the higher the tail speed, and vice versa. Mm-hmm. Lower the rotor speed, lower the tail speed. So, of course, when you go with a three-bladed tail, you get more tail authority at lower head speeds.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't think that I can... Everything is so relative because it depends on the flying style. It depends on how good you are with the tail. It depends on how much pitch, your overall collective and cyclic pitch you're feeding. Because the more pitch, whether it is collective, cyclic, the more you're going to load the helicopter, so the more you're going to lose tail authority.
Mm-hmm.
But as overall, of course, the three-blade tail on any Goblin or any helicopter for that matter, Goblin happens to be, I believe, the only helicopter that has a commercially available, like, out-of-the-box. Who else does it?
Alliant has one, I believe.
Three-bladed tail blade?
Yes.
Tail rotor, sorry?
Yes, yeah.
But what I'm getting at is, like, I have flown a two-blade setup, two-blade head, two-blade tail. And we're talking tail for all intents and purposes because a three-blade head makes no difference. You know, right. I don't notice much of a difference,
right?
Lower high head speed. But I've flown like as low as, I would say, 1,600 on most Goblins, 16 to 17 before I start noticing a big decrease in tail performance.
Mm-hmm.
Do you agree or disagree? Like, what have you tried, like lower head speeds, to see where the tail starts to get really crappy?
What I've noticed is when on my Goblin 770, I was experimenting with single 6S and 7S packs, which is spinning the head at like 800 to 1,000 RPM.
Mm-hmm.
And to be completely honest, the two blade tail was just not up for it.
No, correct.
It just wasn't.
And at those extreme low head speeds, there's no question that a two-bladed tail is not going to cut it.
It's just
no
way. You're going to get tail stalling. You're going to, even simple something like doing a stall turn. If you pull up with positive pitch, you try and pirouette, the tail might just not move. Because
no, you got to go back to like zero pitch as you're stalling the helicopter to then use the tail because it won't work. I agree with you 100%.
Right.
But where's the threshold? I don't know.
No idea.
If I could guess it, somewhere in the 1500 RPM range, anything below 1500, I'm just throwing a number based on what I've tried, not particularly in recent times, but when I got my first 770 years ago and I've tried a lot of different head speeds, if I could just throw a number, I would say 1500 RPM rotor head.
Sure.
It's kind of like that point where you're like, okay, I'm below this, I need a three-bladed tail.
Mm-hmm.
And can you fly with a two-bladed tail? Yes, of course you can. But like Kyle said, it's going to be a handful.
It's kind of counterproductive. If you start leaning on the collective, it's counterproductive.
Yeah. So, of course, when you change the gear ratio, Paul, yeah, absolutely, you're affecting the tail speed. The gear ratio in itself is not it's not a big deal. If you go from a 22-tooth pulley to a 20-tooth pulley to a 24-tooth pulley, you're not really changing much of at all, you know?
Right.
But, you know, when you're lowering your head speed, so instead of running a 500 or 550, 530 kV motor, you're running a 450 kV motor with a 18-tooth pulley. Now your head speed is, I don't know, I'm just throwing numbers out of my head, but say your head speed is now in the 1500, 1600 range, then yeah, you're getting to that point where having a three-bladed tail will help tremendously. And there's nothing wrong with running a three-bladed tail. I think that if you're a pilot that wants low head speed, there's no reason as to why you should not have a three-bladed tail.
Right.
You should have it.
Right.
Period.
I think the three-blade tail is perfect for RPMs ranging from 800 to about 1400. But if you, another option is if you're running like anywhere from 1600 to 1800, what you can do is you can speed up the tail with a speed up tail pulley. I know this applies to Goblins. I don't know about other helicopters. But
yeah, there's three pulleys that you can run on most Goblin 700s, right?
Correct. So
26, 7, and 8, or 25, 6, 7? I can't remember the tooth count.
24, 25, and 26. And 6, yeah. It comes with a 26, which is great for RPMs like 2100 and up. But if you want to run below that, you can try something like a 24 or 25 tooth pulley, speed up the tail, and get more authority that way.
Yeah.
So,
and run 115s, which the most Goblins people have gotten used to running 115 millimeter tails.
Mm-hmm.
They work perfectly at with 105s, sure. Actually at higher head speeds. But, you know, run 115s and perhaps even change your pulley, mm-hmm. your tail pulley.
Mm-hmm.
Or if that's not enough, then, yeah, of course, the three-bladed tail is the ticket. It makes a huge difference.
That's night and day.
I mean, notice it with the 770 Sport, man. It's crazy. Oh, it's just it's so nice.
Night and day. Absolutely incredible. But
nice. There's another question that came in as a comment, too, on Facebook on the post we made for episode 23, Motors, ESCs, and Gear Ratios. And this one comes from Pierre-Jean Bonnet. Nice episode, thanks. Only one question. How do you do with your Hobby Wing ESC and V-Bar Neo? Do you fly with a timer? I answered him. He's asking about a milliamp telemetry sensor.
Mm-hmm.
I answered him. I said, yeah, you and I fly timers. We never cover telemetry. I know that's a big topic. Sure. Big topic.
Sure.
But is there any... I'm not familiar with the telemetry stuff for the V-Control.
Yeah,
I know every manufacturer. I mean, we can spend 2 hours talking about this, but every manufacturer has a different telemetry system. But for argument's sake, since V Control and Mikado seems to be the most popular, V Control and Neo seems to be the most popular fly controller. What is the? Do they make a sensor for telemetry for milliamp consumption?
Yeah, Mikado has a bunch of sensors just for telemetry. So if you're flying something like. For example, Hobby Wing ESC, and you really want telemetry, they make a sensor that you can solder in line between the battery and the ESC. And that sensor will pick up all the milliamps coming in, and it'll give you a report afterwards. So when you unplug your flight pack, it'll give you a full report of this is the max amount of amperage, this was the average amperage, this is the milliamps pulled, flight time, and all that. And if you set up a battery, you can get a real-time flight timer where it'll say you have 90%, 80%, 70%, and you can fly to a dead battery instead of flying to a timer. I personally don't use any of the telemetry stuff. No, not for any particular reason other than the fact that I know I get 3 minutes and that's it. I don't really mess around with different RPMs or different batteries or anything. I kind of just stick to my wide open, full tilt, full RPM I can get out of it and fly for about 3 minutes. I think the telemetry stuff is cool. If you're kind of a guy who likes to tinker and tweak, I think it's awesome. You know, you can, if you've been flying to a timer all your career, then you can, you know, see how much longer you really can fly. Or maybe that ESC really isn't cut out for this application. Maybe you're pulling too many amps. You know, I think the telemetry stuff is really, really cool. It's different.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
But in the end, it's if you want it, but I really don't think it's a necessary thing.
No, I mean, it's nice though, isn't it? It's really cool to have that.
It's a convenience.
It you know, when I was flying the Jetty BK Edition, DS-14, I think it was, and you know, I had the telemetry sensor on. I was flying a competition 700 back in those days. I think that's around the time when I went to Goblin Day or whatever, maybe a little bit after. And I had a sensor for milliamp consumption. I loved it, man, because you know, sometimes I want to go out there and not even click into idle lap 2. I just want to go out there in a normal mode or an idle 1 at low head speed and just do stupid shit and just fly, you know, just putt around and not push it, right?
Sure.
And, you know, I could get 5 minutes or whatever out of that particular 14S setup.
Mm-hmm.
I would get the full 5 minutes. You know, I would get the alarm that, you know, I had it set for 4,000 milliamps out of 5,000. And that was perfect because almost every time, by the time I landed, I put about 600 to 800 milliamps back, which is less than 20%, but it's reasonable. It's a good, you know, a good number to put back on a pack. And then if I was pushing really, really hard, I was getting a little bit under 3 minutes or close to three. Again, I got my, and, you know, I had a set so it would, you know, would notify me that, you know, I had to, you know, I'd reach 4,000 and not land. Mm-hmm. With a timer, you're flying in the blind, right? I mean, the only thing with a timer is you got to underfly your packs. That's the key. Right. That's the goal. You set your timer at a conservative number, so you know no matter how you flew, you're always going to have enough capacity left into the pack so you don't ruin your packs.
Sure.
But you're missing out on potential flight time that you're just not using, right?
And it changes from pack to pack. If you have a strong pack, if you have a weak pack, you're flying against the same timer.
Yeah, of course.
So, I mean, it's got its pros and cons. It's pretty simple. And
How complicated is that V-bar sensor, that Neo sensor to plug in? Is it just a simple sensor you solder in line with your battery? Or?
Yeah, you just solder it between, like, if how I did it is I made my ESC lead real long. I just chopped it in half and soldered in line. If you buy it, it has an EC5 on each end, but you can also get it where it comes with new heat shrink. So you just desolder the
EC5.
Or
you're not using that now? Pain in the butt.
It's just soldering. Yeah. I'm not a real big fan, or I'm not very good at
You change helicopters every 10 days, every 7 to 14 days average.
So. More like 4 days these days.
But sometimes, yeah.
It's really cool.
It's a lot of shit to change all the time.
It's cool. I use it on my airplanes, though. On both of my electric airplanes, I have it, and it's really helpful because with those, I'm not a very good airplane pilot, so it's easy to...
You are an incredible pilot. Stop. Shut the hell up. No. You're nuts.
No. But it helps.
Next time we go to the field, if he decides to bring the planes, because supposedly they're broken, right?
I gotta bring them here.
But when they're fixed and he goes to the field, I'm going to do a video of him flying. No. And then you guys can be the judge of whether he's a good or bad plane pilot.
No. But anyway, it just helps with that because sometimes if I'm on a full throttle, it'll fly for 4 minutes. If I go a little easier, I'll get up to 6 or 7 and, you know, get as much flight time as we can. So it's cool. I see the pros to it. I personally don't use it. Also, the ESC that I have with the radio that I have, it does not support it natively. I know that the Scorpion system, as well as the V-Bar, has it built into the ESC. There's nothing to... I mean, you have to solder, like, a simple servo lead to get telemetry, but it's not like a soldering a sensor in between or anything.
You think Hobby Wing and Neo is going to have integration in the future?
I've heard it's coming down the line. That's all I know. I wish I could say more. I wish I knew more. That's all.
I heard otherwise, but it's all good.
If it comes, cool. If it doesn't, it's not going to break my heart.
All right. All right, let's wrap it up.
Let's do it.
So next weekend is the Orlando Torches Winter Bash. Mm-hmm. We will not be with you. And then the weekend after, we will. So you need to send us more questions.
More questions.
Questions, concerns.
Yes.
We might get some... We might get some...
I'm pointing to the external mic here. We should bring that and talk to Zabo and talk to...
Yeah, we're going to get some stuff. Yeah. We're going to get some stuff at the event. Yeah. And then we'll do an episode about the event. Maybe we might be able to do one during the event. We'll figure it out.
We'll see.
But in one way or another, we're going to bring you some stuff from the event, whether it is afterwards or during.
Yeah.
So other than that, I think that's all we got for the day.
And if you can't make it to the event because you're lame or you're busy, check out our Facebook pages.
Because you're lame?
Yeah, because if you're lame.
Hmm.
Or if you're busy. Then check out our Facebooks. We'll be posting pictures and video if you want to be there virtually.
Facebook.com/TheBKOfficial.
Yep.
Or Facebook.com/SABGoblinUSA.
Yep.
Goblin SABUSA?
SABGoblinUSA.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or you can get a hold of me at Facebook.com/BirdRC. Instagram is Bert_Kammerer.
Uh-huh. I am Facebook.com/KyleStaceyRC is one way to get a hold of me. And I try and check those messages, but it might take me a few days to get back to you, but I will get back to you at some point.
Nice.
So.
Well, thank you for listening, everybody. And you'll hear us again very soon.
Thank you, everybody.
See ya.